Craig Mathis. It's like we're back in 1986 to 1993 when you had best of sevens. These teams have played each other eight times in the regular season. Then they're into two best of sevens within their division. I'm loving the potential animosity and rivalries and excitement of this. I want to get your thoughts. We were debating it earlier. Tampa, Florida. What do you make of that series?
The Alligator Alley series is what I'm calling it, Jason, and it's going to have a lot of bite, and those swamp waters, swamp ice, is going to be filled with a lot of danger there. They both play hard. For the Florida Panthers, you know, they've had a good season, but, you know, for the last quarter century, they've been old for that 25 years. Old. They're old first. They've had nothing. And despite different times where you thought, oh, they're turning the corner, they never did. Is there a better opportunity for Florida Panthers to put a stake in the ice, so to speak, and compete and beat not only their cross-state rivals, but the reigning Stanley Cup champions? I don't know if there's a better opportunity for the Florida Panthers than right now.
In that series, what has to go right, in your opinion, for Florida? What do they do better than Tampa to get this W?
I don't know if they do things better than Tampa. I'm going to start with Tampa. Last year, they didn't have Stamkos, but they had Kucherov playing at the top of his game and Hedman playing at the top of his game. Hedman's not fully healthy. Kucherov is coming back after having not played the full year, and Stamkos is coming back after being injured and off for a period of time. You can be successful in the absence of one player. You're talking about three of the very best players in the league. And I think that factor works in the Florida's advantage. Bobrovsky's played really well. The blue line, I mean, Aaron Ekblad got hurt and lost for the season. A lot of people forget that. We talk about Hedman and Kucherov and Stamkos. Well, they lost a really good player in Ekblad. But Mackenzie Weegar, and I can guarantee you guys this, okay? You know how last year we heard about, oh, this Shea Theodore is pretty good? Well, you're going to be hearing the same thing about Mackenzie Weegar. He's really a good player. He always has been a good player. But when you play in Florida and you don't get a lot of attention, there's not, or notoriety, people aren't as aware. He's a really good player. Up front, Sasha Barkov, Jonathan Huberto, they're two of the best players in the league. They're top-end players. But the depth, the balance they have in their forward group, they can attack you in different ways. And if you want to have if you want to have a chance of success, you need depth. And the other thing about the Florida Panthers, Joel Quenneville, you think Joel Quenneville's afraid of playing a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning? He's instilled that in his group. And I think that for all those reasons, I'm going to say right now, 6 weeks ago, I picked Tampa Bay to repeat. I'm picking Florida to win this series.
Craig Button from TSN. Craig, the first series, another one that should be a dynamic series, Washington-Boston gets going tomorrow. Both teams made some big splashes at the deadline. I think the Taylor Hall and Riley, even Curtis Lazar in the role he's played, has probably had an overall more impact. Mantha had the one good game. But what do you make of those two teams? Who do you like?
I like the Boston Bruins. You know, I like the Boston Bruins for all the reasons you just mentioned. The goaltending is real top-notch. I'm not so sure about the Washington Capitals' goaltending. I look at the blue line. I think that Boston's forwards, the depth they have, 1, 2, 3, 4, can really, you know, put a dent into the Washington blue line. We know the Caps have a really good offensive weaponry and everything. Kuznetsov hasn't had a great year. And what I would say is the way Boston is playing, I think that they can push the Washington Capitals. I think Boston wins this series.
If you look at the physicality, can Boston match the physicality of a team like the Washington?
I think they can. I mean, you're not going to push Nick Ritchie or Craig Smith or Brad Marchand, for that matter, or David Krejci or Taylor Hall. You're just not going to push them. Charlie Coyle, you're not going to push them out of the game. So I actually believe that the Bruins have a better advantage in that regard than the Washington Capitals. It might only be a slight advantage, Jason, but I think that they have an advantage in that regard. And again, I think the depth, there's not going to be any rest for the Washington Capitals blue line. They're going to push you. They're going to grind you. And I think because of the additions that they made, you know, prior to the deadline and after deadline, I think that really positions the Boston Bruins really nicely.
Craig Button joins us. Craig, you got Carolina and Nashville. Nashville's been the best team as far as points-wise and everything goes in the second half of the season. Their goalie's unconscious, but Carolina's been pretty consistent all year long. Really dominant team at 5-on-5. What do you make of the Preds? Can they put, like, to me, that might be the biggest upset. And like, they played really well for the second half. Do you think they can continue it?
I think it's going to be a hard out for the Carolina Hurricanes, but I think that they will emerge. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are another team that's really, really good. Hugh Saros has been excellent for the Nashville Predators, and the Nashville Predators play really hard. They don't have the same skill. They don't have the same skill as the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina Hurricanes play hard. They get up in your space and on the rush. They play fast. The defense is really good. The goaltending's been solid. And I don't think that Nashville, despite the way they play and how hard they played and how competitive they've been in the goal, I don't think they can match them in the skill area. And I think that carries it for Carolina. It might very well be a really, really good series for Carolina to go through, just with the intensity and the competitive level that Nashville's going to play at and force Carolina to play at, because then you're going to play the winner of Nashville-Tampa Bay. And I think that that gets you, or not Nashville, Florida-Tampa Bay, and that gets you set up for your next round. But I think Carolina will emerge from this series.
Talking all things NHL with Craig Button from TSN. Craig, you take a look at Colorado. You know, are you concerned about their some of the injuries, you know, specifically McKinnon, what percentage he might be at?
Yeah, I think when you're a superstar player who does so much for your team, you know, might not be at 100% or there's some question marks around it. It always, you know, gives you a little bit of pause for worry, and it should, because McKinnon makes things happen in such a big way. I think the Colorado Avalanche have a really good team. We know what St. Louis was when they won the Stanley Cup. We can look at St. Louis and say, well, you know, they've had some injuries this year. I think Colorado's a better team. And if they don't have McKinnon at 100%, I still think that it allows them to get past the St. Louis Blues. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to ask me about Minnesota and Vegas, but I think that's the upset special.
And why is
Minnesota,
that?
Minnesota-Vegas, really?
Minnesota's good. I don't know if people realize how good they are. Their blue line's good. They're faster than Vegas, and they're hard, and they're competitive. I think that this is the series where you could see a top seed and a real top team in the league go out.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Well, hey, it's fun. I was looking at Vegas, and Frank Saravelli on our DFO Rundown podcast brought up a really good stat about Vegas, that 10 games this year, Craig, and you're 10 games – out of 56, they had to dress less than 18 skaters because of salary cap issues. And they lost 5 of those games in regulation. They only lost, you know, 14 all year long. And so I look at Vegas. Obviously, there's no cap situation now in the playoffs. And, you know, Minnesota, for whatever reason, the last 10 games, they've given up 40 goals. Now, they can score, but I don't know. I just think Vegas is going to grind them. And I don't know, maybe it's because I just want to see Vegas play Colorado, because I would just like to see that matchup. But yeah, Minnesota's been good all year long. Part of me wonders if they're kind of, I saw some wind go out of their sails here the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just saying that's the one I have my eyes on.
Yeah, I like it. Craig Button from TSN. In the north, Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Winnipeg, it's secured. I see both series pretty big advantage for the two home teams. Where do you come out?
Yeah, I'm right with you. I don't know if the advantage is as big for Edmonton as it is for Toronto, because I think Toronto is a much more superior team than Montreal Canadiens. Edmonton is the better team, and I think they have the advantage, but you know, the Winnipeg Jets with Hellebuck in the net, he's a real top-notch goaltender. And that forward group, and the forward group isn't just Scheifele and Wheeler and Connor. It also goes into that group with Lowry and Kopp and Appleton. You know, keeping the pressure on in the playoffs and on your opponent is a real key to success, and I think Winnipeg can do it. You know, where Winnipeg, you know, really struggles with respect to where they can be exploited by the Edmonton Oilers is on the defensive side. Edmonton is so good at being able to transition, score off the rush, and they get lots of good quality chances inside the high danger areas. And I think that Winnipeg struggles to defend in that area. And you can turn to your goalie and turn to your goalie, and Hellebuck will do his part. If Winnipeg can't lessen the burden to a certain extent on Connor Hellebuck, you know, they're not going to have a chance.
Craig Button joins us, breaking down the first-round matchups in the NHL. Craig, you know, you and I, you know, both bought into the idea that the Habs having a good season this year. They've fallen off quite a bit. They get the Leafs in the first round. Any chance that they can have a little redemption song here and, you know, win this series against the Leafs?
I see no chance. I guess that's, you know, maybe the extreme, but the Leafs are the superior team, and they're the superior team everywhere. There's not an area where Montreal is better than them. And, you know, when I know a lot of people talk about 42 years. Well, back in 79, Montreal was the superior team to Toronto, and they won in four straight. Two of those games went to overtime, and I get it. And, you know, I just see no scenario other than that Toronto Maple Leafs absolutely capsizing where Montreal can beat them four times. And, you know, I said that they might be hard-pressed to win one. I know it's hard to win four straight games against the same team, and I know that'll be difficult. But I just see Toronto as a real superior team to the Montreal Canadiens.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. Craig, where do you come out on the New York Islanders? And I was looking up stats as I was doing my previews. Matt Barzal, in the last 42 games, plays the most power play minutes on the Islanders. He has no power play goals and four power play assists in 42 games. Do the Islanders have any chance to beat the Penguins?
They do. They do have a chance to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins because, you know, they play such a complete and sound team game. They're not going to give up very much. They're going to make their opponent earn everything they get. And, you know, when you start to think about an opponent that might make mistakes, you know, the Islanders are not only ready to take advantage of those mistakes, they make you pay. And I think for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who got beat four straight by the Islanders a few years back, and then last year's debacle, if you want to call it that, against the Montreal Canadiens, I think there's a real opportunity for the Pittsburgh Penguins to be able to either say, this last year against the Montreal was an aberration, because if they lose this year, now everything becomes a pattern, and now you have to start questioning the Pittsburgh Penguins' capability. You know what the problem with the New York Islanders' power play is? The problem is Matt Barzal, just to be clear here. He's the problem with the power play because he doesn't give up the puck. He wants to hold on to the puck and 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 hold on to the puck, just like I'm holding on to this stupid thought.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You look at that matchup. You know, it's a tight one. But I just like I everything is for sure about the Islanders. But I just don't see him being able to score. Like at some point, you're just going to win four games, 1-0.
I'm with you, Jason. I think Pittsburgh's going to win. I think Pittsburgh. I think they're set up. I think Tristan Jarry has really found that comfort of being the guy, to be in the goalie. I think at the beginning of the year, after Matt Murray had been traded in the offseason, there was a little bit of, okay, this is my net. How can I do it? He struggled at the outset, but he's really found his level, and I think he's a real good goalie. And Crosby's playing great. Gensel's playing great. You know, if Malkin can come back and perform at the level we've seen him play at, I think that they have a really good chance. Jeff Carter, you know, those extra goals, right? Jason, what you're talking about. And, you know, the Islanders have lost Anders Lee. They struggle to score. And I think at some point in time, the lessons that the Islanders have served to other teams the last couple of playoffs, I think teams like the Pittsburgh Penguins can not only benefit from those lessons, but they learn from them. And I think Pittsburgh wins this series also.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be fascinating to see the playoffs. I can't wait. I think the intensity is going to be a little bit higher than we see in a normal playoff year because they played each other so much. As some of those cities are getting fans back, not in the north, unfortunately, but everywhere else. And I think that's going to add even more excitement in the buildings to it. So I can't wait. I can't wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Craig, we'll talk to you next Friday. And one last quickly, Cole Perfetti and a few other young guys going to Canada for the World Championships. Obviously, it's a good decision. They want to get those guys playing. What do you make of some of those young guys, and do you think Perfetti's going to be a regular in the Jets lineup next season?
Well, I think this is a step for him to, you know, really test himself against competition that is, you know, more closely, you know, that reminds you and is more like the NHL. And it's about growth. I mean, Cole's a young player. And, you know, we want all these young players to just quickly get to the NHL. And, you know, just because they're drafted 10th overall or 5th overall or whatever, there's a maturity process for the vast majority of them that they have to go through. So I think for him to go and, you know, play in the American Hockey League this year, I think that was good for him. I think now going to the World Championships, and it really gives him an opportunity over the course of the summer now to come in with a real significant knowledge of what the demands are at the NHL level and then compete for a spot. You know, you can tell players all you want, here's what the NHL is about, but when they know it and then they understand it and they can apply all of that in their off-season training, in their understanding as they come to training camp to compete for a spot, that's how you progress. And I think for Cole Perfetti, it's something that should really benefit him in his quest to compete for a spot. But it's going to be a young team for Team Canada, and I think it's a great opportunity for young players to be able to go and test themselves against really good international competition.
Craig, have yourself an awesome weekend. We will talk to you next Friday.
Okay, you can give me a whole breakdown on the Saturday Vancouver-Edmonton game.
Craig, you know what? I'm excited to watch it, to then watch the Boston-Washington game, so you can almost in real time see the difference between end-of-year playout games and playoff game intensity and how different it's going to be.
Now, I'll tell you what, Saturday's game is going to be like Friday's game between Winnipeg and Toronto. The jerseys are not going to have to be washed after those games. There will not be very much sweat on the jerseys, and there won't be very much scuff marks either.
No, I definitely don't think so. Thanks, Craig. Have a good one.
You guys too.